Ah. It was so high it makes me feel shorter than I am. Okay. Really a great message today. And I appreciate it. Somebody was praying earlier about how we've heard things like so many times, you know? And yet when God breathes on it, it is fresh and it's new. And there are certain things, I mean, like, that was great. You know, like, why would the Bible have to be so thick if God didn't have to repeat himself, right? And he does it. He says the same things over and over and over so that one day, you know, the lights come on and we get it. So, Father, I thank you for, again, this incredibly awesome group of young people that you want to feed today, that you want to pour into today like only you can. Lord, as we sang songs this morning in praise and worship, Lord, there was your special presence here comes and speaks to us in very unique ways. And so today I pray that you'll even do that as we look at this portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 10. We thank you and praise you for what you're going to do, believing in Jesus' name. Amen. I brought my treasure chest today because I have something in there that we want to take a look at in just a little bit. Okay, our portion of Scripture is Luke 10, 1 through 11. And like so many times we do, is we start out reading a Scripture and then we go through and explain it, okay? So what I'd like for you to do, if you have your Bible, open it up because it just helps for you to see those same words. I'm reading out of the King James because there's a particular word that's used here that is a little bit different. But you can follow along in the NIV or Message Bible, whatever you have, and just let the words meld together to give you that single meaning. Luke 10 and verse 1. I'll tell you what, being that you have your Bibles open, let's have you read it nice and loud from wherever you are, all right? Eric, you've got yours open. Why don't you start with verse 1? You want to stand up, Eric, and talk real loud and smile at everybody? Look at Eric. Turn around, Eric. Go on, show him your face. There you go. Why are you laughing at his face? Jeez, that's not very nice. Go ahead, Eric. Okay, that's good. He is zealous. He's going on to verse 12, 13, 14. We'd be here all day. Anyhow, great portion of Scripture. What is Jesus doing here? He's sending his disciples out. He's commissioning them. And he has 70 of them. Okay, or seven. Does your Bible say 72? Okay, mine says 70. And that number is significant in the Old Testament and in the New. We won't go into that this morning. It's another study. All right, but he is sending them out and he calls them laborers. So what I'm going to do this morning is talk about this little portion of Scripture for just a few minutes. And then we're going to move from there into three very, very simple points that are truly a way of life forever. They're cyclic. It's what you do every single day. And in the end, there are great, great rewards. And if you don't do these three things, in the end, honestly, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You will not have brought forth what the Lord has purposed for your life. So we're not going to look at that consequence. We're going to look at the process of living our lives in light of these verses this morning. And then how can we actually put this portion into action because we are people of action. Interesting word here in Luke 10, starting in verse 2, where he says that the laborers are few. The word for laborers there are workers, but the word few is translated several different ways. One way is that they are puny. It means they're not very strong. Another is that there are not very many in number. And another is that they are not very many in power and influence. Now, that is the truth. However, God means to empower us. So this morning, as we continue looking at this portion of Scripture, we want to be empowered. Another interesting verse I'm just going to pull out here is verse 6. It says this, "And if the Son of Peace be there..." Now, in the NIV, it says, if the Man of Peace. But in many of the other translations, I looked at about six different translations, it says the Son of Peace. If the Son of Peace be in that house, great. If the people you bring your message to are indeed the sons of peace, then that's fantastic. And I think this is a very, very interesting point. Because in Eastern ways of thinking, everybody is a son of somebody. Simon Barjona. Bar means son of. Jonah. Okay? And so here, it's becoming a little bit more spiritual. Jesus called them at one point, James and John, sons of thunder. And here he's saying, sons of peace. So this idea of peace produces children. The idea of behind Judas was that he was the son of perdition. Okay? Apostasy, walking away from it. He's the son of that. And so we'll come back to this thought at the very end and question, who or what am I the son of? It's a very important question because that is what we produce. So now what I want to do is take a look at this Great Commission, because Jesus here is sending forth these 70. Remember, he had the 12. He had three that were closest to him. He had John that was the very closest, the beloved. But then again, he had these 70. A large group, or 72, that he commissioned to go out. All right? And so we want to look at that. Now, there's three things to this process. This is the way we live. We get to go out. But the first thing we go out with is a message. So, number one, we must get the message. We must get the message. We have to get it. The second thing that we will do is become that message. And the third thing we will do is what we're commissioned to here, that is to spread that message. Okay? So we want to look at these three simple things today. The first one is get the message. Get the message. Now, many of you, you're all in school of some sort, and you sit down in your class, and the teacher wants you to get the message. The message. If it's grammar, if it's language arts, she wants you to get the grammar right. Don't end a sentence in a preposition. Okay? Don't start a sentence with the word because. She wants you to get the information. All right? She doesn't want you to use double negatives in a sentence. If it's math, of course, there's math information. If it's chemistry, it's chemistry information. Some of you like biology, you know? And somehow, out of all these classes, how many classes do you take a day? Six classes? Out of six classes, have you noticed that there are certain classes when you walk in, you sit down, and the teacher's talking, it's like you're a magnet. It's like you're made out of Velcro, and she keeps throwing these fuzzy balls of truth at you, and it all just sticks. And then you go in other classes, and you're like coated in Teflon. No matter what the teacher's saying, it just bounces, rolls right off, nothing is sticking, and you got to go home and like really try to spray glue on this stuff to get it to stick in your brain. Have you noticed that? Like, which class is really sticky for you? Do you have a sticky class? Chemistry. Who said that? You like chemistry? Oh, man, that is so cool. That is just so neat. I love looking. I bought this book. I don't even need it, but I bought it because I opened this book, and there are all these incredible pictures taken through high-powered microscopes that show us the molecular structure of stuff. And it's like, oh my God, you made this. You know, it's just so cool. Chemistry sticks with me, not because I know incredible formulas, but because I see God in chemistry. So there you go. You've got stuff that sticks, okay? Now, God wants this to stick because He made us to be sticky Christians that when we read this, it's like, whoa, got it, okay? It's like, this is mine, all right? I've got some students that actually sleep with their Bibles, you know? They sleep with their Bibles because they want it to just, you know, get in their hearts, you know, so passionate about it. So we've got to get the information. And I believe everybody, every one of us in this room have information that comes from this book. All right? Is it good to lie? Yes or no? No. Do you lie? Yeah. You know, we do. We twist the truth. We put a spin on stuff. Okay? So we know. We know. But it's not always part of us. And so that's the process God wants to happen in our lives, okay? And we all take in information differently. We all get the message differently. I think that's important to recognize this morning. You're all sitting here. And I'm standing here. And each of you are processing everything that's going through this air a little differently. Some of you are going to meet with God by reading. Some of you by singing and worshiping, you know. You know, who was singing? Alex today? Alan? Okay. Yeah, you know, since I've been coming here over 3 years, I just see such growth and development in his ministry. You know. And I believe, you know, God's made him that way. You know, I bet he can listen to music and just feed, you know. Comes in through his ears, in his head, and it warms his heart toward the Lord. You know, so we're all different. Some of you have to touch stuff, work with stuff, handle it. Some of you might have to get into a nursing home and help elderly people or go into a daycare and work with little kids, you know. And that is how you receive truth. The thing is this. Every single one of us have a hole of some sort in our hearts. A void. A chamber. A place that is empty. A place that needs to be filled. You know, there's a desire, a want that can only be met by getting God's message into us. And He fills that up. He fills that up, you know. It might be a relationship. It might be any number of things. But truly, only God can fill that up. My grandchildren play with puzzles during church. And which is the most exciting piece to put in a puzzle? The last one, exactly. Not the first one. The first ones are the easy ones. They have a straight edge because the puzzle's a rectangle. So you look for the straight edges and then you get them all put together. But the most exciting piece is the last one. And I'm sorry, although I'm 58, I'm still a little kid. I want to put the last piece in. And I'm bigger than a 5-year-old. So I could steal that piece and I could stick it in there and go, we did it. You know? But I restrain myself. You know, even with Kayla, she's the youngest one, I you know, let them put that last piece in. And this is what I'm talking about this morning. We get the message. It's like when we get something from God, it's like that last piece of the puzzle. He puts it right in there. And it's like, yes, we get it. We see the picture clearly then. Because without that last piece, the picture's incomplete. See? And we still have that hunger, that yearning. And so God wants to give us His message. Do you want His message this morning? Yes. You want to hear from Him. Not just hear. You know, I mean, that'd be great. But I mean, as we walk through life, we want to be hearing God's message. You know, all the time. All the time. Okay, the second point is be the message. Be the message. I'll never forget. I'm just thinking of it now. Must have been 25 years ago, I was doing an art fair. And I was a brand new Christian. No, I wasn't. That was 30 years ago. Okay, I was a new Christian. And I was doing an art fair. And this lady came up. And I was excited about Jesus. You know, I wanted to talk to people about Jesus. And this Christian lady came up. And she was really excited about Jesus. I mean, like, really over the top. And so she was going to tell me about Jesus so I could get saved. Okay, well, I was already saved. And she was just, like, really happy and bubbly and obnoxious and loud and rude. It's not a very good testimony. It was hilarious. But I guess she was like doing what she knew to do. But I knew, you know, because she's standing there, she's walking through the street with her Bible and she's going, "Hallelujah! Praise God, my Jesus is coming back! Are you a sinner?" You know, and she's talking really loud, scaring all the customers away. And I thought, wow, woman, you got an extra dose of something going on. I don't know what it is, but I wasn't sure it was the Holy Ghost or, you know, I wasn't sure. I just didn't know because I was new too. But she was at least being the message that she knew, okay? She was probably born again in a church of that kind of flavor, which is fine. I love flipping through the station, listening to all the different flavors of Christianity. You know, Brother Breather. Did you ever hear Brother Breather on the radio? It's a great one. And I want to tell you, brothers, he's breathing, and sisters, you never heard him? That's where they were born again. And so that's the kind of birthing, and that's the kind of message that they preach, okay? So that's kind of fun. But it's just fun, you know. I heard another guy today. Oh, never mind. Anyhow, I'd like to do a little demonstration. So anyhow, people can, like, wear Christianity. You know, and you just wear your Christianity. It's kind of like my shirt. Okay, and the Bible says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, I think there's more than just eating, more than just wearing. You know, I think we need to take in the Lord Jesus. So I need a volunteer today. Do I see any hands? Eric, very good. Come on up, Eric. I already cleared this with him. Would you stand over here near the girls? Because they like laughing at you. All right. This is Eric, a fine young man. And in my treasure chest, I always try to bring something that will have a portion of truth, okay? And in this treasure chest, I have, of course, how many of you want to see Eric saved? You want to see Eric saved? Yeah, I hope so. Okay. So I have Lifesavers. All right? And, you know, Eric is going to be my wonderful little example here. And I'm going to... Lifesaver. They are all over Eric. Okay. Whoa! Almost. Oh, put one on the shoe. That shoe. This shoe. Oh, look. Eric's pocket. So Eric has Lifesavers. Whoa, Eric, you have Lifesavers, man. Check them out. He has Lifesavers galore, all right? And he has... Eric, why don't you put your hands out like this? Here we go. Eric has Lifesavers. I can baptize Eric in Lifesavers, okay? There we go. Has he got Lifesavers? Check them out. How do they taste, Eric? He's speechless. You know why? Because although he's got it all over him, he's getting the message, he is not becoming one with the Lifesavers. Okay? There's no way he could stand there all day. You want to see him stand there all day?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll be nice to Eric. Okay, Eric, you can sit down. You know what you get, Eric? Here, shake it off. There you go. You can have a Lifesaver, okay? There you go. And after service this morning, go to Eric, and he's got a lot of them in his pockets, and he wants to share them with all of you, okay? The point is this. You can be in a Christian environment. You can have Christian environment all over you. You can have the message of the Lifesaver, okay? The message of the Lifesaver, and never eat it. How many of you have ever heard the song, Eat It? Isn't it hilarious? I tried finding it this morning for you. I couldn't find it. It's a mockery of a song by a nasty artist. But anyhow, it's really, really funny. But there's something about the Bible that must be eaten. It must be eaten. All right? Let's take a look at Jeremiah 15:15. It says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Have you ever noticed in the good news there are always persecutors when you stand for what's right? Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. And then verse 16. Your words were found. I got the message. And I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I found your word, and I ate it. And it was the joy. It made me happy. I loved your word. Okay? This is what Jeremiah is saying. This is what our testimony should be. I found your word. Whether it's in the Bible, whether it's while I'm riding my bike, whether it's while I'm getting a spanking, while it's when I'm doing my homework, when I'm doing the dishes against my will, I found your word and I ate it. And it made me happy. For I am called, this is so cool, I am called by your name. Wow. That is huge. That is huge. You know. Now, what's your last name? Okay, I can't even say it. One syllable, I can't even say it. I'm pathetic. What's your last name? Wang. There's a lot of Wangs around, aren't there? Yeah, it's like Smith or Jones. Okay. We get excited about our last names. Found out that one of the teachers at Oakland Christian School, her grandmother's last name is Vitali. It was my grandmother's maiden name. So we're like, we're related. How cool is that? We're called by the same name. We got the name thing going on. Well, what about the name of Jesus? What about the name of God, Father God? When He says, if you eat my word and you rejoice in my word, you are called by my name. Wow, that is powerful. We want to come back to that. I sat not in the assembly of mockers, and he goes on. Let's take a look at Revelation 10:8. Eat the word. Get the message. Be the message. The way you be the message is to eat the message. And the voice which I heard, Revelation 10:8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Verse 9. And I went unto the angel and I said to him, give me the little book. Okay, get the message. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall be in thy belly bitter. So here we have in Revelation, John is eating the book. I'm not going to have you take a big bite out of your Bible today because that's not what it's really about. But again, in the New Testament, we see him eating it. This time, it's bitter because sometimes the message isn't sweet. So he says he took it, he ate it, was bitter in his belly, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. I'm not going to pretend today and tell you everything about being a Christian is sweet. It's not. There are some very challenging, difficult things that we must face. And there are many other scriptures that talk about eating the Word of God. This one was given to John, and only after eating the word could John then go out and share his message. All right? Very, very important. Very important. In John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And if any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give you is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The point is this, that Jesus is that bread of life. And that sounds so churchy, I even hate to say it. It sounds so canned. It's like, bless you, brother, go in peace. It's like saying, hallelujah. You know, like, what does hallelujah mean? It's like saying, amen. Amen. We don't even know what it means anymore. I am the bread of life. It sounds kind of like a giant Christian cliche. It could be in neon lights. But to those of us who have fed on it, Whether it's sweet or bitter, it's life. And that's part of our Christian experience. So we want to eat the word of the Lord. That is the only way you can own it. Okay? For example, I have a piece of gum in my pocket. Okay? This is delicious. Mmm. Oh. I'm chewing. It's juicy. Oh, yeah. It tastes like it's never going to wear out. It's really good gum. It's fantastic. By the way, would you like some? You don't want my gum. I just took it out of my mouth and I offered it to you. And you don't want it. Why? Because it's my gum. I am eating this. When I eat this, I take ownership of it. Okay? And when you eat the word of the Lord, it becomes yours. Now, if you get close enough to me, you're going to smell my breath. And it's a kind of a pepperminty thing I got going on here. Okay? Now, that's very important. That's like a major, major point in my message. That whatever you eat is on your breath. And when God says, eat my word, okay, get the message, get the information, become that message. The flavors of this gum are becoming part of me, especially part of my mouth. Okay? If it was nutritious gum, fortified with vitamins and minerals, it would become part of my whole body. Okay? Right now, the only part of my body that's really responding to it are my taste buds, a few sensations in my head. The pancreas is kicking out a little more, you know, whatever it does to help absorb the sugar. And it's giving me a little bit of instant energy. Okay? So, my whole body's responding. It's becoming part of me. Part of my life. The other day, I can't remember what the situation was, but I had to share something from my past with somebody. I used to be a vandal. I would vandalize stuff, okay? I used to run around with a bunch of bad kids in the hood. And we would, like, smash cars and take hood ornaments off and just relocate hubcaps, you know, things like that. And that is no longer a part of me at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I live in the country. My mailbox would get smashed from time to time. And I would say, yes, somebody smashed my mailbox. That person has the opportunity now to feel guilty before God, just like I did, and turn from their wicked ways. And it was my mailbox. What a treat. They smashed my mailbox. I love it. Now they can feel guilty and meet with God. See, I mean, that is how he turns things around in our lives. It's really cool. It's really cool. Why? Because I ate that message. And the last part of this is, you know, it became part of me. And the last part is to spread that message. Now listen, this is important. This is like really important. I'll dump candy over people. I'll chew gum and show it to you. And that's funny. But this is important. Because in the end, Jesus said, go and teach in Matthew. And in Mark, he said, go and preach to all people. All people. All right? He didn't say, hey, guys, what's happening? If you kind of like feel like it, you know what I mean? Then you could go preach or you could teach. It's up to you. No, he didn't say that. In Matthew, when he talks about the kingdom of God, he said that it's like mustard seed. Did I tell you about the mustard seeds before? No. Mustard seeds were like weeds all over Israel, all over Jerusalem. They're like weeds. So when Jesus stands before all these wonderful church people and he says, the kingdom of God, my children, is like crabgrass. It grows everywhere. You know, they were like, crabgrass? What is with this guy? Okay? And then, you know, just throw him a little bit more, because everybody knew that yeast was a type of sin. So he throws that one in. The kingdom of God is like yeast. You know, yeast, that's a type of sin. How could the kingdom of God be like sin? Well, how? Because it multiplies. And that's what God's called us to do. Multiply. All right? So very good. Now, I've eaten this gum. The flavor's starting to wear away. But I'll tell you what. I know that my breath is very much peppermint. And so whatever we are feeding on is what comes out of us. All right, very important. John chapter 7, we spread the message that we're living. John 7:37 says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out, saying, 'If any man thirst,'" there's that empty puzzle piece. Okay? We must get the message for that. Become that message. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his spirit, will flow rivers of living water." And I'll tell you, other people are going to know. They're going to know. Are you the Son of God? Are you the daughter of the Almighty today? Is that what's coming from your spirit? Have you gotten that message? You know, have you become that message? And are you spreading that message? Because this is the way of life for all of us. We get stuff. Now, the guy who likes chemistry, he keeps getting chemistry. He's going to become chemistry. He's going to spread chemistry. Okay? Now, that's not bad. That's a good thing, because God made chemistry. And he may become a chemical something for the kingdom of God. You know? I mean, it's very possible. All right? God uses very natural stuff in his kingdom. And he was talking about the Spirit, his Spirit that would be coming out. You know, he would be poured out, and that would be flowing through us. Then in Luke chapter 10 and verse 6, I want to go back to this verse. It said, and if the Son of Peace be there. The NIV says the Man of Peace. King James and like six other translations. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And I want to question today, Son of, because the sons of Antonio and Sheldonia Chalufo, those are my parents, produced me. I'm the son of, you know, Antonio and Sheldonia. That's who I am. Yet born again, the Son of God. And today I want to say, who are you the son of? Who are you the daughter of? Because you've gotten something, you've become something, and you're spreading something. Now, I have produced a son through adoption, and now I have grandchildren. So whatever we are continues on. It continues on. Even through adoption, it continues on. We're all adopted into the family of God. So it's important today. I just was thinking about some of the kids I know. I know a kid. He's the son of humor. Because humor is what he's all about. I know another one. He's the son of computer graphics, because his whole, another one, son of videos, that's what he's all about. Another one, son of games. Another one, son of sports. Son of football, son of soccer. All right? What are you all about? And what has God designed you to be all about this morning? Because as we get the message, we can wear it on the outside, but he wants us to eat it, partake of it. And I was thinking, you know, I can't just talk to these kids. Oh, everybody go home, let's eat the Bible today. All right, let's eat the Word of God. What the heck does that mean? So, as we were worshiping this morning, I felt quickened with one thought. Ask you a question. What is on your plate? What's on your plate of life? What is there? And does God know what's on your plate today? You know, Eric this morning, we're talking for just a few minutes, and school started, you know, it's been going on for 2 weeks. He didn't seem like really excited. You know, he wasn't like jumping up and down. And then, that's not bad enough, we come in here to pray, and he's praying that all this rain today will turn to ice and make the road slippery so the buses can't ride, can't go to work. So obviously, I know what's on his plate, okay? But what's on your plate? What is God feeding you today? Is there something like spinach that maybe you hate? Is there something like dessert waiting at the end of dinner? Oh, yeah. Great big coconut cream pie. Great big wedge. Yeah, I like that. What's on your plate? Are you going to eat it? My nephew, my cousin had a daughter, still has her. She was really a pain in the neck, and he was divorced, and he loved her, so he'd pick her up from school every day and take her to his apartment and have lunch for her. And one day he prepared special lunch, and she wasn't sure she wanted it. So in the end, she said, "Oh, okay." She was like 12 years old, just being real snotty. So he made her spaghetti and meatballs for lunch, you know. And so she sat down to eat it, and she's just playing with it with her fork. She's moving it around the dish, and he said, "Honey, you have to eat that because we got to get back to school." And she's moving it around some more, you know, and she takes a tiny little bite. And he goes, "You've got to eat your spaghetti, man. We got to get back to school." So finally, she got smart with him. So he picked her up, and he walked into the bathroom, and he put her in the bathtub, and he took the spaghetti, and he dumped it all over her head. And he turned the shower on. And that was bad. So. So, we don't want to be a spoiled little brat and just push our peas around on the plate and say, "God, you know, I really don't want to eat this right now." And I can't go into all the million things that could be on your plate today. But you know what's there. And you know what your Father's trying to feed you. So, let's have our musician come and is this what we do? We sing a song? Okay, good. All right. And as we're singing the song,